have your Bibles, be turning to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Ronald mentioned a little change, and I always thought, you know, went to seminary, and there are many times preachers come in, young preachers who know everything that think to do, and this young preacher I'll never will forget. He was having a little problem with the Sunday school, trying to get the attendance up, and he'd just about done everything, he thought, and said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, this Sunday I'm going to change things. He said, I'm going in, and this Sunday we're going to have preaching first, then Sunday school after preaching. Well, he went in and done that. He come back Monday morning when we all came back, and we said, how did it go? He said, well, they told me that we've always done it this way at this time. If I didn't like it, I could pack my bags and on the way going. Well, he learned an important lesson, but there are little changes that come along that we can do and that we don't lose ourselves that help us. And we kind of get in a rut sometimes, but it's good that we just come and have a good time in the Lord's house and enjoy. This morning, as you come to 1 Thessalonians 2, I'm going to skip to verse 13, because in the first 12 verses of 1 Thessalonians 2, they're pastoral, really in emphasis. And I say that because Paul is addressing his personal ministry as he talks about his manners, his motives, and his personal ministry. And we'll touch on that as we kind of look at the background of Paul tonight in the message. He talks about his heart of a pastor and how that a pastor wears many coats. That is, he has many roles in the ministry, in the work that God has called him to do. Most important, though, is that he give himself to the Word of God. We know that in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4 that the apostles were filling many roles in the work that they had to do, and one of the things that they were abusing was that they were leaving the time of prayer in their life, leaving the time that they'd spent with God in His Word, and therefore they chose those 6 men or 7 men to do those things that they give time to the Word and to the ministry. We must always remember we never waste time in studying the Word. We never waste time in studying the Word. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know, study is a work. It really is. The Solomon said that much study is a weariness to the flesh. And therefore, study is a work. It's not a waste. It's a work. And we have to study, or I do, to try to publicly proclaim the Word of God. But when we come to verse 13, we come not to the pastor's responsibility or the preacher's responsibility, but we come to the believers as we note his receptivity or her receptivity concerning the Word of God. And today in verse 13, Paul tells us how every believer, how every saved person ought to hold the Bible, the Word of God, in highest regard or highest esteem in his or her life. Notice what he says to us in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the Word of God, which ye heard of us. Now underline this statement. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it was in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we come to our part this morning as we listen to the Word of God. You know, Jesus made the statement, he that hath ears, let him hear. And so we've come this morning to place our ears, to place our hearts, to place our minds upon the Word of God. And Paul talks to these Christians about them and their Bible. You know, you remember the little song that you sang in Vacation Bible School? Remember the little song, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. On this, the Word of God, I stand. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. My, what a treasure of this divine book that God has given you and I as believers today. And I want to mention just old-fashioned things today that you've heard before. But I'm sure many of you men oftentimes eat leftovers, do you? Oftentimes, and I believe one day last week, if I remember, we had spaghetti. And I remember that we had spaghetti 2 or 3 days after we had it the first day. And I'll just be honest with you, I probably enjoyed it better the second time than I did the first time. So there are many paths and many windows sometimes the preacher leads you down that you've looked in before. But we need to be reminded of these things today. And I just entitled this message, The Christian and His Bible. The first thing I want to note to you about you and your Bible this morning is your affection for your Bible. That is your love for the Word of God. I believe this morning with all my heart that when God saves a soul, that He puts into the heart of that believer, that soul, a desire, a thirst, and an affection and a love for His Word that they didn't have before in their life. Now I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Now I want you to look at a couple of verses that the psalmist talks about concerning his love that he had for the Word of God. Now, you remember that in the Old Testament, they just had scrolls. And in that, they just had scrolls of certain pieces or manuscripts at that time that they had in the Old Testament. Yet, no doubt, David had some manuscripts, the Old Testament books. And David said this concerning them. He said in verse 97 of Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." David's heart thought about the Word of God. Things that he had heard, things that he listened to, David meditated upon them all the time, all the day. Then in verse 40 of Psalm 119, he makes another statement concerning God's Word. He said, "Thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Now let's talk about just a little this morning about our love for the Word of God, what's involved in it, and what it brings. First of all, this morning, folk, I want you to know that when you're affected and when you have affection for the Bible, the Word of God, you rejoice in that Word. That is, you have joy in that Word. And today, for a Christian, when he or she reads the Word of God, there should be joy. When he or she listens to the Word of God, there should be joy that is produced in our hearts and in our lives. If you'll turn this morning to Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, you'll find that Jeremiah talked about the love and the joy that he got from the Word of God. Now, I love to eat, and you probably can tell that by looking at me. But I also love to hear and love to read the Word of God. It brings joy to my soul. Jeremiah said, "The words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." They thrilled me, in other words, that Jeremiah said concerning the words of God. Now, folks, listen. We must be very careful, because if we're not, the devil and this world can rob us of the joy of the Word of God. It can. You know, the old devil, if we're not careful, can make the Word become dull to a child of God. It can. It can become dull to our ears, that we're not eagerly anticipating the enjoyment of God's Word. And today, folk, when we come, and we come even to the house of God, we're to have joy in receiving the Word of God. Now, you know, there are many reasons people come to God's house. And, you know, coming to God's house should be an enjoyment that we're going to hear the Word of God. That we're either going to hear it taught or we're going to hear it preached. That's the joy that we should have. And as we think about that joy, people often come to God's house because, well, Brother Danny, that's my duty. Well, duty. I'm thankful for duty and responsibility. But if duty is the only reason I come to the house of God, I better check myself. Because I want to tell you something. It's not just me showing my head to be accounted for a number. That's not why I come to God's house. To say, "Well, God, I've come this morning and I've done you a great service, my being here this morning." That's not why I come to God's house. Just to show my head for some count. I've come to enjoy myself in the Lord. And enjoy myself in the Word of God as I come this morning. And today, folk, you're missing out on a joy. You're missing out on a blessing in your life If God's Word doesn't minister to you, and God's Word doesn't bring joy to your life, you're missing out on a blessing in your life. Now, I'm thankful to God for the teachers that we have here that they study, and they present God's Word to us. I've said that on many occasions. You're blessed here at Burnout Baptist Church. And listen, I know that you have to put up with me, and putting up with me is a burden. But I'll tell you what, to me, joy is preaching the Word of God. Now, you know, as I came this morning, I've been up since 3:15, not literally up, but on my bed awake, and I've been thinking about this verse. And as I looked at this verse, I thought about the joy there is as we have come to the Word of God and enjoy preaching. Now, you know, today as we come, I hope that today that as you look, you consume God's Word. As you think about it, turn to Psalm 1 and verse 2 as you think about meditation. I have a few old cows, and there are some others in this church have a few cows. And you know, as I go and check on those cows, there are some things I look for to make sure some things are right with those cows. And I'm not comparing you to cows this morning, don't get me wrong. But as I go down to the pasture, the first thing I look for is buzzards. I really do. Because I've had a few cows to die. And I've noticed that the buzzards would be swarming around. So one of the first things I look for as I go to that pasture is for the buzzards. Because if I see buzzards, I know something is not right in there, that they're dead. But if I see an old cow out there, and that old cow's sitting up, and that old cow is chewing, she's chewing. And you know, that kind of brings a solemn peace to my heart because I know that she's enjoying what she's already eaten. And you know, that's what we call chewing the cud. And you know, we find as Christians, we're to chew the Word. That is, we're simply to meditate on the Word that we've heard. Now look at what the Bible says in Psalm 1 and verse 2. It talks about the righteous man. And it talks about, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Have you caught yourself doing that? Something that you hear from the service. Something that you've read from the Word of God. You hear, and then later you think about that, and you begin to ponder or chew upon it, and what joy it brings to your heart. What joy it brings to your life. You know, in my life, I don't walk much, and I never meditate much when I walk because I'm too busy walking. But I like to ride my horse. My horse is named Sparky. Me and Sparky will get out riding, and I'll be honest with you, I'll begin to preach to Sparky. He's a pretty good listener. He listens to a lot of better many times than church members. He always agrees with me. But I'll be honest with you, when I get out there by myself with me and Sparky, and I begin to meditate on the things that I've studied, on the things that I've read from God's Word, I get happy. I just rejoice on the inside of what God and His Word says to us and how there's joy in it. We ought to rejoice as we meditate on God's Word. You know, Paul was so pleased with these Thessalonians. He was. He was amazed at them that he had been there such a short time. But yet in that short time that he'd been there, as they had received the message of God, but they continued in that message and how they'd received it. But as I go to Acts chapter 17, he came to a group of Bereans. He was more amazed at them because it says when they heard the Word, they searched the Scriptures daily for in the things that they heard to make sure that they were so, to make sure that they were true. So this morning we have come, and I hold in my hand and you hold in your hand the Bible. It is something, folk, that you love, and because you love it, you enjoy it. Now, I specifically love tonight, or this morning, I specifically love the preaching of the Word of God. Not because I'm doing it, but simply because, listen, I just like the preaching of God's Word to hear others preach the Word of God. You know, in my life, Brother Leland, used to, I would think preaching was the greatest bore that I've ever heard in my life. I have to say that. For a man to stand in a pulpit and preach to me, was the greatest bore that I have ever heard someone do in my life. But you know, God changed that in my heart. He did.
I used to think as I was growing up as a young boy, we had Brother Marson. He stayed at that church I don't know how many humpteenth years. And he stayed there and he preached and he would preach and he would preach. And it seemed like it would come to 12 o'clock and he would preach and he would preach. And 12:30 and he would preach and he would preach. And I said, my goodness, how can anything be as boring? But I have to say in my heart that I heard that man preach one time. And that was after I was saved. And I remember the style of his message. I remember it was the captain of my salvation. And I just thought, what you have missed in your life, what you have missed in your life by sitting there in your sins when you could have been enjoying the things of God. Now, folk, I want to tell you this morning, I hope and pray that when you come, that my preaching is not as dry as dust. Amen? I hope that. I hope it's not as dry as dust or dry as snuff. I saw Andy Griffith this past couple of weeks, and it was that scene where Opie and his friend had written their little paper, and they were having a hard time selling the little paper. And so they were seeing, and they got the idea that if they could print the gossip of the town, they could sell more papers, and they were listening in on what some of the adults were saying. One of the things they listened in on was when Andy said concerning his preacher, he's as dry as dust. Well, you find Andy now was afraid, and you remember how they ran around, how they tried to get all those papers before the people ran them. Andy went to his pastor, and his pastor was sitting out studying, you remember, on his notes. And Andy, as he approached him, began to hint about and see if he read the paper. Well, as you note, you'll find out that the preacher had read the paper. And he told Andy, I've got you now. I've got you. And when Andy began to leave, he said to him, he said, I hope your lessons are not like mine, just as dry as dust. Oh, me, I pray that they're not. I pray that I'm excited. I pray today that I'm excited and refreshed in the Word of God, because we can rejoice in the message of God's Word. Folk, you listen today. In simple truth, the Word of God should stir and motivate the heart of a child of God. I've tried many things in my ministry over the period of 38 years to try to entice people to get them to come to the house of God to listen to the Word of God. You know what I've tried? I've tried shortening the messages. I sure have. I've even tried shortening the messages, maybe down to 10 or 15 minutes. And you know what I found out? That didn't work any better than preaching a long sermon. Not one thing better. I tried to tone down on the doctrines, not be as hard, you know, as you might seemingly to be. And I found out that that didn't work any better. What I found out in my ministry is people come and they're going to enjoy, and they're not going to be dedicated until they really enjoy the Word of God and can feast on it in their lives. I found that out over a period of time. Now, I read something this past week, and I want to read it to you. I truly can say I got this out of the garbage can this morning, because I did. There's a lady sitting here, and I've told her and told her not to throw things away until I tell her to. I won't call her name. But I got this literally out of the garbage can this morning, and I want to read what impressed my heart about preaching this past week, and I think it encouraged me in my ministry. It says, in changing culture, millennials, that's who this younger generation is, millennials drawn, now listen, to deep preaching and doctrine and realness. The day is certainly changing. It makes this statement. As the culture shirks church and its beliefs more and more, the younger generation finds itself without easy, comfortable home in Christianity. He said one of two things happen. They either die, or they either dig in and fall away, or he said Christianity has to be true and real, or it's really a waste of time. Now listen what he said. He said, I think there is a deeper desire among younger people for doctrine and sermons, a deeper desire for convictions. Sometimes churches tag millennials as being more interested in entertaining worship services or social justice causing them Bible study. He said why he thinks pastors who preach long and challenging sermons Sermons that really dig into the Word of God, tackle tough questions head on, have captured the hearts of the younger generation. This is another statement by another preacher. They are just looking for felt need sermons. They're looking for God. They're looking for something different. They are wanting to go deep. And that's my desire, to give them the Word of God. This is the third one. God's Word is like an ocean. You can wade in the shallow shoreline, or you can launch out and explore the depths. My job is to expose God's truth to everyone with clarity and creativity, while simultaneously counting on the Holy Spirit to seal the truth to receptive hearts. What statements that are made. We come today, and often we say, this world is looking for a short sermonette. Let's go home and thinking good about it. But today, folk, we've come to enjoy the Word of God. And when you enjoy the Word of God, you're going to find fellowship with God. You're going to find your fulfillment in God today. And you're going to find the assurance of your faith being strengthened from the Word of God. Today, listen, love your Bible. Have the affection for the Word of God. And I want to say this morning. I say it boldly. I'm not trying to drive it down your throats. I'm old. I'm the only way out. I can say about anything I want to say. And I say this. Nobody can put a love of the Word of God in your heart but God and you. If you're expecting the preacher to do it, it won't happen. If you're expecting the Sunday school teacher to do it, it won't happen. What's going to bring about a love for the Word of God in your heart is, listen, it's you and the desire that you allow God to have in your heart concerning His Word. And today, folk, I want to say to you, we ought to love this book more than we all the farmers have in Albany. We ought to love this book more than we love our newspaper. This book ought to be the highest reverence in our heart because we're saved and the Bible is the book for me. Amen. This book is to be held in highest reverence in my affection, in my life. But I want to tell you something else about your Bible. Listen, the appreciation for your Bible. Look what he says to them in this verse. When ye receive the Word of God which ye heard of us. Now note, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Amen. When they heard the words of Paul, it wasn't the words of Paul they thought they were hearing. It was the words of God that they were receiving. They were receiving the authenticity of the Word of God. Too many people have this idea about the Bible. The Bible is just a book written by some men, and all it is their opinion as they got together and gave their opinion on certain subjects. Well, folk, you listen. The Bible was written by men, but now listen. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, holy men of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Over 40 writers, over a period of some 1,500 years, that apart, the Bible in its canonicity was given to us. Those 40 men lived in different time frames, lived in different aspects, but you listen. Those men were so controlled. Those men were so controlled by the Holy Spirit that their thoughts and their hands only produced what God intended it for us in His Word. I believe from the book of Genesis, the book of Revelation, that the Bible is the inspired, inherent, infallible Word of God. It doesn't contain it. It is God's Word today. It is God's Word. And these people received it with the highest appreciation in their life that it was the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not only should we appreciate that, but we should appreciate not only the authenticity of the Word of God, we ought to appreciate the longevity of God's Word. I mean, you listen to me, folks. This book has been held. This book has been preserved. People have tried to burn it. People have tried to stamp it. They've tried to throw it away. But the Word of God continues. Isaiah said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God abideth forever. Listen this morning. God's Word is just as relevant. God's Word is just as fresh as the day He gave it to the writer and they penned it down. You say, we live in 2015. We live in a different culture. Take that old book. Throw it from our presence. It's out of date. It's just as relevant today as it was in the day that it was written. And it'll be just as relevant as time goes on, even in eternity, with God. That's God's Word. Longevity. You know, as you think about that, I thought about an old boy that came to me one day. He asked a question that I didn't have the answer for. I really didn't have the answer for. He said to me, he said, Brother Danny, how do you bear the Bible? I said, what? He said, I want to ask you, how do you retire? How do you bear the Bible? He said, mine's getting so old, I'm going to have to bear it. Well, I didn't. I said, but Clay, what I usually do is take mine when it gets that and just have to put it on a shelf. But you don't bear it, do you? Clay buried it his lately because he laid his later on the hood of his Jeep and went down the road and the leaves started flying. The cover went everywhere. I guess he had to get another one. I enjoy this Bible that you've gotten me. I've enjoyed studying it, but it's been hard. You say, why? Because, you see, I've had to change pages and I've had to change sides and I've changed all that. But you know what? God's Word, whether it's written on papyrus, whether it's written on page, God's Word is in His mind and it's eternal. Amen? It's in His mind and it's eternal. That's the Word of God today. And today, folks, listen, I appreciate men and women. I appreciate churches who've stood faithfully to God's Word. And we've seen this Word and the truth of God's Word preserved down the ages. Thank God for their blood. Thank God for their sweat and the tears that they prevailed in preserving this to us today. My, they received it as what? As the Word of God, not as men. But I want to show you something else. Look else what it says in that verse. It says this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Appropriate it. Apply it in your life. You never put anything in your mind from the Word of God and store it in your mind that God cannot use and God will not use. He will. God will use it. His Word will not return unto you void. And as we come, God help me to have that teachable. God, help me to have that instructable spirit in my heart. As James said, lay apart all superfluity, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the Word of God. Folk, you listen. I've learned things since I've came to Burnout Baptist Church. I've been challenged more to get into God's Word and dig and study more in my life. My, listen, it's brought joy. It's brought fulfillment in my life. God gives us this Word, and as we've come today, we've come as hearers. And as a hearer, I must prepare my heart by prayer. As a hearer, I must prepare my heart to let all the worldly things drip from this mind and set my affection on God and His Word. And folk, you listen, God will bless us in enjoying the things of God. Oh, today, preparation. Paul said it effectively worketh in you. I want you to turn to Philippians 2 and all of us as you turn there. Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to look at verses 12 and 13. Listen what it says. Wherefore, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Now listen to this statement he's going to make. Work out your own salvation with true and trembling. Now a lot of people have always had problems with that because we instantly reply, salvation's not by works, it's by grace. Right on, that's true. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But don't you look what that verse says. That verse didn't say work for your salvation. Now you catch it. Work out. You can't work out something that's not in there. Something has already taken place in your heart. And what's that? Salvation. You can't work it out if it's not in there. You can't possibly do it. Now listen what he goes on to say. He says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do His good pleasure. How does God work in our lives? The Word that is spoken and read that we study, He uses that to effectively grow us in grace and knowledge
of God's Word. He does. And that's how we glean, and that's how we grow in Christ Jesus, in the study of His Word. And oh, today, Paul was so thrilled with these Thessalonians, so thrilled with them, that listen, how they looked on their Bible, how they approached their Bible, how they loved it, and folk, you listen, how it was evident in their lives. Did you know the Bible says, whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, shall be blessed in his deeds or in his life. I believe that with all my heart. We not only hear these words, but we let God appropriate them. And we let Him apply them by His Holy Spirit in our lives. It will bring blessings to our hearts and to our lives. God will bless us. Now I want to say again what I began with, and that's this. Our love for our Bibles, God's Word. Before I was saved, folk, you listen. The Bible didn't mean a thing to me. It didn't. Nope, it didn't. I mean, there was a reason for this. Because, first of all, Satan had me blinded. But the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them because they're what? They're spiritually discerned. But you know what happens? When God comes into our hearts and saves us, if I understand it right, He changes the inner man. We receive a new spirit within our hearts. And that spirit agrees with God. And that spirit begins to agree with the things of God. And that spirit begins to desire the things of God. And you listen, it desires the truths of God's Word. It feasts upon them. They bring joy, joy to our hearts. Oh, listen this morning. Your Bible. It's something that's precious to you and should be. But I want to say again, when you come to God's house, you come to enjoy. Not that we're going to put you on a show. Not that we're going to entertain you. But folk, I want to tell you, I want you to enjoy God's Word. Enjoy it. And react to it. As God leads you to react, you say, well, Brother Danny, I might like feel like saying amen. If you want to say amen, say amen. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll sell for a lady saying amen. Amen? You say, Brother Danny, what? I mean, listen, sometimes people just, we're quiet, aren't we? Boy, we're quiet, aren't we? And one of the changes, I'll be honest with you, that here that I have, is that you're really quiet. You're really quiet. You say, you have a problem? No, I don't have a bit of problem. Not a bit of problem with that. But I'll tell you what I do like. I like for people to enjoy, smile, as we look into God's Word. I mean, folk, listen, rejoicing in His Word. And I pray that you do. You know, there are times, and as I look, and I thank God for, say again, for our teachers. You know, in every class, and you know, sometimes we study, and folk, you listen. It just doesn't come out like we want it to come out. Brother Dale, you ever find yourself that way? It just don't come out the way you want it, or you thought it would come out. Now, that's kind of the way this sermon is. This sermon at 3:15, as I was thinking about this verse, it came out real good. But, you know, it might not have come out that good as I intended it to come out as I wanted to. But you know what? We ought to rejoice in His Word, oughtn't we? I mean, it's kind of like the preacher that was preaching one Sunday morning. And one of his members couldn't be there. But he was popular enough that this preacher was on television. And so Monday morning, his church member that wasn't there came by and said, "Preacher, I saw you and heard you yesterday, and you just didn't have it yesterday, did you?" The preacher said, "Well, I guess you're right." And folk, you listen. Every time a preacher stands in the pulpit, there's a lot of things we want to bring out that just don't come out the way we do. But you listen. The sincerity and the enjoyment is there of God's Word. And today, I pray that you can enjoy your Bible that God has placed in your heart, that you've hid in that heart. And as you come, that, listen, you have the love, you have that desire, that you appreciate it so much, and that, listen, God lets us appropriate it, hide its words in our heart, and then God help us to apply it in our lives daily as it should be. My, you just ought to enjoy half as much as I've gotten up here this morning and messed up a sermon and enjoyed trying to preach it to you today. My, the love and the joy of the Word of God. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. On this book, I will stand. The B-I-B-L-E. No other foundation than we have than God's Word. Ask you to stand this morning. Father, I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to stand this morning and to feel your presence, to be among people that love your word, that are affectionately enjoying, excited about your holy word. Lord, what it means to their hearts. Lord, today, our appreciation that, Lord, we recognize and we give you full honor and glory that this word is of you. It's from you today. And Lord, we receive it as that today in our lives. And Father, today, if there's been someone here, Lord, you planted that word in their heart to give them the desire to be saved, bringing you to them in their lives by your precious word. Lord, we pray that you would give them the courage and the faith to stand out on the promises of your word and be saved. But Lord, there may be those here that they've allowed the world to dull their hearing, their reading of your word. Lord, may we ask you to rekindle that fire, that love, that appreciation that we're to have for your word in our lives. Thank you for what you've given us, that we've been to this place today, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.